Many observers have said the U.S. intelligence community doesn't appear to make any sense. It's divided into well over a dozen different agencies. And the whole stew is supposedly overseen by a CIA director who in reality doesn't control most of the agencies. But the system must have made sense to somebody at the time it was created. So to understand how the intelligence agencies grew as they did, we've brought in Elizabeth Rinskoff Parker. She is a former senior counsel for the National Security Agency, for the State Department, and for the Central Intelligence Agency. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So there's always been military intelligence, of course. Why was a civilian intelligence agency, the CIA, created right after World War II?
Well, we have to go back to the world conditions after World War II. The Soviet Union was seen as moving from an ally to an enemy and at a rapid rate, and there was a sense of emergency in Washington and a reaction that we needed to have, first of all, intelligence, even though it appeared to be peacetime, but also intelligence that would be independent and would be able to, in one place, bring together disparate views. There was also concern that intelligence not be overborne in its views by the great departments of the day, the State Department, the Defense Department, of course.
So there was a deliberate effort to divide up the different voices in the intelligence community. And then a few years after that, another big agency was created called the National Security Agency for eavesdropping. Why was that done?
In a sense, the same theme. NSA simply brought together a number of activities that were then existing within the various military intelligence components of the services.
Oh, interesting. An effort to centralize there, but it ends up creating a separate agency.
A separate agency, but when we talk about intelligence, there are a number of different types of intelligence. And the point then is to organize the structure around the means of collection. We talk about signals intelligence, which was, of course, the focus for the National Security Agency. The CIA, in contrast, gathered human intelligence.
Which is spies as opposed to eavesdropping and bugs and tapped phones, that sort of thing.
That would be correct.
And then what led to the big divide between domestic intelligence gathering, if we can call it that, and international intelligence gathering?
Some of the structures that we see today are the result of personalities, some the result of experience. At that time, the FBI was run by J. Edgar Hoover, a very powerful Washington force, and he was very concerned that this new agency not tread on his turf. On the other hand, there was concern that we not have a domestic intelligence agency such as we had seen being abused in other contexts.
When you were inside these agencies, the CIA, the NSA, the State Department, which also has its own intelligence office, did the people you work with think that the system made sense?
They knew the system was a complicated one, but it was responsive to, in those days, what the needs were for intelligence. There was a great belief that we should not have a domestic spy agency.
Does the current system make sense for this time and the needs of today?
The answer is not a clear yes or no. The distinction between foreign and domestic intelligence, the concern for the civil liberties and civil rights of American citizens, has got to continue to be a primary goal in any reform we might take. And indeed, the commission report makes that clear. On the other hand, we now also recognize that we're at a time when the threats that most concern us are transnational. They do indeed move with nimble quality across borders. So something has to be done in order to better configure the intelligence capabilities we have to deal with that problem.
We've been talking to Elizabeth Rinskoff Parker. She's a former chief counsel for U.S. intelligence agencies and is currently the dean of the University of the Pacific McGeorge School of Law. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve. I've enjoyed talking with you.